Welcome to New Life Church Podcast. Fresh and relevant teaching from New Life Church in Birmingham. For more information on New Life Church, please check out our website, www.nlc-billingham.com.
Currently doing, friends, is being videoed, and there's also CDs. And the CDs are being made available. And if you've already paid for the first CD, would you go and get your money back? Because we want to make sure that everybody who hasn't seen the ministry or heard the ministry, that ministry is available for them. So for those who have not yet got the first session, would you please make sure that you go and get a copy or put your name down for a copy of a CD, and that will be given to you free of charge. This is the second in our series of teaching sessions that will lead to membership here at New Life. Like I said the first time I spoke, I prefer the word partnership, which is a more scriptural word, a biblical word. Paul talks in Philippians 1 and verse 5 about your partnership in the gospel. It's good to be partners. It's good to know, friends, that we are belonging in a greater cause than the cause that we are belonging to is the greatest cause on earth. Do you believe that? Firstly, for those who are already members here at New Life, you will have the opportunity to recommit yourself to membership. Once you fully understand the criteria, the responsibility, the commitment, refreshing yourself again, what it's all about to be partners, to be members here at New Life. At the end of this teaching, you will have the opportunity to recommit yourself to membership. Secondly, membership or partnership will be offered for all those, and we know that there's quite a good number, who have not yet had the opportunity to become members here at New Life. The Bible is very clear that it is as each part of the body does its own unique special work, that the body grows. How many know that everything healthy grows? God wants the body of Christ, the church of Jesus that he's building, to grow. And it is our purpose, friends, as we teach these sessions together, that you will have a clear understanding of the purpose and the part that God has placed you in the body of Christ for. We want to become a well-watered garden. Amen? Where things that are, you know, plants, they take the right environment. They need the right type of stuff to cause them to grow. They need the water. They need the sunshine. They need the right light. They need the right environment to grow in. And I believe that for every Christian, everyone who is born again of the Holy Spirit, they need the right environment to grow in. And God wants us to become a well-watered garden. Friends, at New Life, it's our main purpose, not just to see New Life grow, but to see the kingdom of God grow. How many know that the kingdom of God is bigger than New Life? Joseph, he was a fruitful bough. His branches ran over the wall. Friends, I believe that God wants us not just to be too concerned of what's happening here in New Life, but to see the kingdom of God. To see what God is doing, not only here at New Life, but beyond New Life. You know, friends, as the kingdom of God is extended, New Life will be extended as well. We will see numerical and spiritual growth here amongst us at New Life as the kingdom of God is extended. Let me again reiterate the criteria for all those who wish to partner with us here at New Life. There will be 5 requirements for those who would be partners, members with us here at New Life. The first requirement is that you will have to have listened to all of the 5 teaching sessions. That's why it's important, if you've missed the first one, you need to get hold of it. That's why this card has been given, and there's some cards in the foyer. This card is not for you to sign to become a member. It is just for you to monitor the times that you've listened to the teaching that we are currently sharing on partnership. These cards are in the foyer. CDs are made available for you if you've missed the first session. And we would like you at the end of these sessions then to sign this card, which will not make you a member, but hand it in for us to know that you have listened to all five teaching sessions. The second requirement is that you'll have to be born again. You'll have to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and have confessed Him as Lord and Savior. Requirement number three is that you will have to have been baptized in water by total immersion. And if you haven't been baptized in water and you want to commit yourself to membership, you'll have to give us the assurance that at the earliest opportunity, whenever the next baptismal service is, you will be baptized in water. Fourthly, we will be giving you a copy of a statement of beliefs, what we believe. Taken from the Word of God, we will share with you what we believe as a church. You will take those statements of belief home and read them and return a signed copy to the leadership to say that you are in full agreement of what those statements of belief indicate and what they are saying. And finally, you will sign a membership covenant. That will be a covenant, first of all, to God, and then to all of your brothers and sisters in the body, that you are fully committed to see God's work here grow and prosper, and you are going to give yourself to that work that God has called you to give yourself to. To help us as a leadership process, once the final teaching has been given on the 12th of July, the leadership have taken the decision to postpone the annual general meeting, which was due to take place on the 15th of July, and that will now be postponed until the 23rd or the 30th of September. We will obviously inform you once we have a definite date for that. That will just give the leadership time to process all the applications that are coming in for membership. And at the AGM in September, our new membership, our new partnership will come into being. In the first session, we talked together about the importance of being planted in the house. Let me read you some scriptures that we talked about. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Psalm 92 verse 12. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. And so in this first session that we had a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the importance of being planted in the house. And we asked two questions, two vital fundamental questions. And they were the questions were these. Do you know that God has planted you in this house? Has God planted you in this house? And the second question we ask, if God has planted you in this house, do you have that assurance that God has put you here? How many know that God wants us to be here for a purpose? God wants us to know that He's planted us in this house for the purpose that we might flourish, that we might grow in the courts of our God, and that we might become the people that God has destined us to become. These are two basic fundamental questions that if you have answered positively, I want to tell you, friends, the next four sessions, including the one this morning, will be very relative to you. If you know for certain that God has put you in this house, you could have been in any other church in the Tees Valley. You could have been in any place, but there is a purpose why God has put you here. And how many know the purpose is not just for you to sit on the seat that you're sitting in? There is a divine purpose behind why God has placed you in this house. And I believe the next sessions will be very relative to you in respect of your function, your responsibility, and your commitment here at New Life, as you partner with others to see the kingdom of God extended amongst us. I really believe in the local church. I really believe, friends, that for every Christian, it is the will of God for them to be rooted in a local church. A congregation of believers who love God and who are committed to serve Him. Because it's in that environment where God wants us to grow and develop and ministry to develop and for us to function in the giftings and callings that God has over our lives. God loves the church. He loves it so much that Jesus died for the church. He gave Himself for the church. And God has set in the church, first of all, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. Amen? Friends, we are called with a divine calling. We did not choose Him. He chose us. This morning, the title of my message, what I want to share with you, is Our Purpose and Our Mission. I want you to understand that what we're sharing now to the whole congregation on a Sunday morning will form the basis of our membership, our partnership classes for everyone else who will come into New Life in the weeks, the months, the years that are ahead. What we are sharing with you will form the basis of our teaching sessions within our belonging, our membership partnership classes. The scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart to share with you this morning, and it was mentioned yesterday at Lawler's event, Proverbs 29 verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Well-known verse of scripture. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Another version says this, where there is no clearly defined objective, the people wander around aimlessly without any purpose. Where there is no clearly defined objective, the people wander around aimlessly without purpose. My son-in-law, Craig, and daughter, Rachel, are moving in August to take over the leadership of a church in Enfield, down in Essex in London. On talking with Craig the other day, it soon became very obvious that one of his main tasks as the senior leader of that church will be to bring vision and purpose to the small number of people who meet there. There's got to be a purpose to why the churches or the church exists. There's got to be a purpose as to why the local church exists. And friends, unless that takes place, whether it's in Enfield or Billingham or Redcar or Stockton or wherever a group of God's people are seeking to extend the kingdom of God, unless there is a purpose, unless there is vision, then the people will wander aimlessly and without purpose. The church of Jesus Christ that He said, I will build my church. Let me tell you, friends, He builds His church on purpose. The church is built on purpose. There is nothing haphazard about the church that Jesus is building. It is built on purpose. Clearly defined objectives, clearly defined goals, and a strategy to see those goals and objectives realized. Without that purpose, without those clearly defined goals and objectives, in other words, without vision, there will be no direction. The opposite will be true. There will be haphazardness. People will meet for meeting's sake. Friends, God does not want you to come here just for the sake of coming. There's got to be a purpose in why we come. There's got to be a reason behind why we meet together and we do what we do. If there is no purpose, let me say this, people will not know where they are going. And if they did know where they were going, they wouldn't have a clue how to get there. How many know God wants us to know where we're going? And he wants us to know how we're going to get where we're going to. That is vision. As the scripture says, if that's not there, the people will wander aimlessly and without purpose. The prophet Habakkuk was instructed by the Lord to write the vision down. Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 2 and 3. He was told to write down what he saw so that it wouldn't just be for him, so that when he had wrote the vision down, God said to him, make it plain so that everybody who reads it will be able to run with it. So that everybody who sees the vision, reads the vision, will be able to get behind it and go with it. In March 2006, the leadership team spent a day away at Loftus. We took over the church in Loftus, and the leadership team spent a day away together, with the purpose that during that day away, God would help us to formulate the vision that he had been really sowing in our hearts for at least a couple of years. Leading up to March 2006, we had met as a leadership team many times, and we had prayed together and shared together about the future of New Life Church. What does the future hold? With that background, we met at Loftus and we had a flip chart and a pen and some empty paper on the flip chart. And the question we asked ourselves as we met together, what has God been saying to us? What is the areas that we have been really challenged on as we've met together? One thing we were all very conscious of, friends, and that was the good hand of God upon us as a church. God had blessed us over the years. There can be no doubt about that. The blessing of God has been upon this congregation. And God has wonderfully helped us over the years in the development and the progress of the work here at New Life. But in March 2006, it was a defining moment. Because up until that time, it was just all prayer and talk and sharing together, and nothing could be wrote down. But at Loftus, in March 2006, I believe there was a defining moment in the life of this fellowship. There came a clarity and a purpose to all that God was calling us to do. You might want to call it our vision for the future. And I want to tell you, friends, from March 2006, what God shared with us that day, I am so thankful that so much has already been accomplished. So much has already been rolled out. So much Red Car Church are here as a result of that day. River City are birthed as a result of that day. Stockton Church are a result of that day of meeting together. The fabric of this fellowship has changed as a result of that day. Youth pastors are now amongst us as a result of that day. So much God said to us that day has already taken place. It was a vision that we were able to write down. And the purpose of what I want to share with you this morning is to once again remind you and to share with you what our purpose and our mission is as a body of believers. Let me say this, friends, as a leadership team, we believe God has spoken to us. we believe God has said something to us that we were able to write down. And I want to tell you, as a leadership team, we know where we're going. We are not asking you to follow decisions that are made that are being made blindly. As a leadership team, we believe we've heard the voice of God and the way God is wanting to lead us forward. And that's why this morning we are talking together about our purpose and our vision. Unless there are clearly defined objectives, the people will wander around aimlessly without any purpose, where there is no vision. Vision looks into the future. Where there is no vision, the people will perish. We want everyone who partners with us here at New Life to commit themselves to a purpose and a mission that is bigger than ourselves. First of all, let me share with you our church mission statement. I know that you're aware that it appears every month in the monthly newsletter. But how many know that familiarity can sometimes breed complacency? And although it's there every month for all to see, you mightn't be aware of it, or you might have become complacent with it. I think, friends, there is a danger that if we become complacent, it can lose its potency and the power to bring change. The preamble reads this: the following mission statement has been formulated and will act as a basis for all that we are seeking to accomplish here at New Life. I want you to understand that this mission statement was formed before we went to Loftus. And this is what we feel God had said to us. This church exists to glorify God by nurturing, equipping, and empowering all of God's people for service, so that every man, woman, and child in our locality has the opportunity to hear and understand the gospel and accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her personal savior, and that every believer becomes actively involved in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. That was our mission statement. That was already formulated. And with that mission stated formulated, we were asking the question as leaders, as we spent that day away together, how could that mission statement be worked out so that it would be more than just something on paper? How could it be worked out that it might become a living reality amongst us? It was here, friends, that I believe God really helped us. And we left Loftus having spent that day together with a clear purpose and a direction for the future of New Life. And I want to tell you, every one of you here this morning are a part of that future. Amen? You are a part of the future of the life of this fellowship if God has planted you in this house. We had something in embryo form from Loftus. It was only the beginning. And over the coming year, from March 2006, over that year, we were able to write the vision down. As we prayed and as we shared together in what we felt God had said to us, we were able to write down what we felt God had said to us. We were able to write the vision down. And as some of you know, in June 07, we launched the five-year vision. From June 2007 to June 2012, we launched a five-year vision. That five-year vision has been the subject of our preaching and teaching from time to time over the last couple of years. This morning, I just want to share with you again that vision that we believe God has given us for the future, our mission and our purpose that it reflects. Okay, Paul, if we ready to run? Can we just knock these lights out at the front? Paul is going to help us with this. The vision has four main pillars. Four main pillars of the vision. We refer to them as the four E's. And every one of the four pillars that God has given us are based upon the Word of God. The first pillar that he said the fellowship would be built on would be evangelism. Mark 16, verses 15 to 20. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Then there was the pillar of equipping. Acts 2, verse 42. There, referring to the early believers, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then there was the pillar of enlargement. Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. "Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." And the fourth pillar of the vision was excellence. Both spiritual and physical excellence. And I haven't got time to read it, but the scripture that brought the foundation here was when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon. And when she came to visit Solomon, the Bible says she saw. She saw something that took her breath away. She saw excellence amongst his men, amongst his servants, amongst the way things were set out. There was excellence. And she said this, "The half of what I heard hasn't even been told me." I believe, friends, everything God wants us to do has got to be excellent. Amen. Amen. So these were the four pillars of the vision. Evangelism, reaching out, equipping, building up, enlargement, working out, excellence, looking good. These were four E's, if you like, that God had laid upon our hearts that would become pillars that would embrace everything that we were involved and were about to be involved in at New Life. What do we mean by evangelism? Our purpose. What do we mean by it? We mean giving people the opportunity through the Word of God to become aware of their own sinfulness and their own need of receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as their only means of salvation. Friends, let me tell you, it's the Word of God that brings light into a person's heart. We believe that through the Word of God brings conviction, and the Word of God brings conversion as it washes the soul clean from sin. And we believe, when we are talking about evangelism, that it's through the Word of God that people become aware of their need of Christ. We also mean, when we talk about evangelism, equipping and mobilizing God's people to focus on and reach out into the whitened harvest. Let me tell you, friends, you were saved for a purpose. Amen? I know there is a gift ministry called an evangelist, but how many know that God wants you to be involved in reaching people for Jesus Christ? And when we talk about evangelism, we are talking about the equipping and the mobilizing of every Christian to become involved in the whitened harvest. And thirdly, to reach every man and woman, young person, boy and girl, in the locality where we live and work, and the people that we come into contact with. I preached on this some time ago, but you are not living in the house where you were living on purpose, without purpose. There's a reason why God put you where you are. There's a reason you are working at the place where you're working. The school that you're going to, the college that you're going to, there's a reason why you are there at this moment in time. And that is, there are people all around you who need to hear that Jesus loves them. God wants us to reach them, friends. The fields are white. There are plenty of candidates to be saved. Do you believe that? Plenty of fish in the sea, right on our doorsteps, and God wants us to reach them. So this was our purpose when we thought about evangelism. This is what we our purpose was. But how was it going to be accomplished? It's one thing having a purpose, but how is it going to come about? We put down some of our goals. To reach every home in Billingham, Ragworth and Redcar, the three churches that we are involved with the gospel of Jesus Christ through various methods of evangelism. That doesn't mean to say we will go into other parts of the Tees Valley, but certainly Billingham, Redcar and Ragworth Estate, we want to reach every home. That is an ongoing thing. That's already taking place. Friends, there are leaflets going out every week into homes in Redcar, in Stockton and in Billingham, making Jesus Christ known. It's an ongoing thing. The process has begun. To have an ongoing training program of personal evangelism where God's people can get equipped. The way of the Master has been adopted as our main vehicle to teach the people of God. And the way of the Master has just finished on a Thursday night here at New Life. And we'll be having another one in the autumn term. And for everyone to become active in evangelism in the locality where they live and work. Evangelism begins at home, doesn't it? Don't have a call of God to go to the farthest corners of the earth to preach the gospel, friends, to someone who hasn't heard it, when your next door neighbor doesn't know that Jesus loves them. Evangelism begins at home. Where we live, where we work. And to provide opportunities for the gospel message to be proclaimed. Throughout the ministry here at New Life, we seek to have opportunities for the gospel to be presented. Once a month in our monthly guest services, which is usually the norm once a month, at the end of the month? This one has taken that place. We should have had a guest service this morning, but it's an opportunity for the gospel to be presented. In our services, there are opportunities given for the gospel to be preached and to be presented. Equipping. What do we mean by equipping? What have we identified as equipping? When we are talking about equipping, really we are talking about people becoming obedient to the word of God. How many know, friends, that obedience is the key to blessing? If we want to be blessed of God, then obedience is vitally important. The Bible says it is better to obey than it is to sacrifice. I think another area that we looked at when we looked at this area of equipping was discipling believers to become more like Jesus. You know, that's the process that goes on in your life and mine. God wants us to become more like Him. And everything He's doing in and through us is to make us more Christ-like. More Christ-like in character. More Christ-like in the attributes that God is putting upon our lives. That we will become like Jesus. Equipping God's people for the work of the ministry was another area that we identified. And an area we identified was to equip people. Friends, without prayer, there'll be no equipping. And we wanted to lift the profile of our prayer. And that's why once a month we have the opportunity to come together as a church to seek the face of God. Prayer to become the main emphasis of our ministry. Fellowship to be encouraged amongst believers through relationship building and social events. So these were the areas that we identified when we talked about equipping. How were these areas going to come about? How were this purpose, how was it going to be accomplished? First of all, we want in this fellowship to provide ministry that encourages believers to develop their personal relationship with Jesus Christ and challenges them to live a life of faith. We take it very important, friends, the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And we believe that through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, it can bring change into people's lives. Amen? And we take that as a very important aspect. And that's why we make much emphasis on our preaching and teaching of the Word of God. We want people to discover their ministry. That becomes the main objective of every leader, every gift ministry, to equip the people. We want you to find out what God has called you for. And one of our main purposes as leaders is to help you find out the reason you've been saved. What God wants you to do. We want you to discover your ministry. Not only to discover it, friends, but we want you to find an outlet for the ministry that God has placed in your hearts. You know, friends, the Dead Sea is dead because it never gives out. I believe as you take in, there's got to be an area of your life where you start to give out. So it's not just the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. How many know there's a lot of fat Christians? I don't mean like me. But a lot of fat Christians, friends, who've soaked themselves sitting under ministry year in, year out, and all it becomes, they come to church, they listen to a word of God, they go home again, and they come back for the next bit of bread the next week. And the outside of that, their service for God is nil. Let me tell you, God wants you to find an outlet for your ministry. He wants to release you to do what he's called you to do. And as a leadership, we want you to find an outlet in your ministry. We want to develop a strong prayer base here at New Life. Thank God for the intercession team that meets every week. But as a church, we want to have a strong prayer base, that prayer becomes one of our main focuses, and to provide opportunities that will make people aware of the need for fellowship amongst believers. You need others to get equipped. Friends, I want to say this morning. I'm not just talking about in meetings. Social times, God wants us to get together. I believe God was pleased with the men meeting together yesterday. I believe, friends, outside of meetings, we've got a social events coordinators now who 4 times a year are organizing 4 specific events that will get the body of Christ together outside of this meeting area, that we can come together for fellowship outside of the meetings. That's only 4. I want to say it ought to be encouraged more and more and more. We ought to be meeting together, enjoying one another's company. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about equipping. Those are the areas that we believe that God will help us in. We talked about enlargement, which is the 3rd pillar of the vision. And these are the areas that we identified. Personnel. We want enlargement in all of the personnel who come to New Life. The recognition and appointment, especially in the area of leadership, in the aspect of all that's going on here in the fellowship. Then we looked at enlargement in team. Thank God there are teams working amongst us, doing different functionings, but you are a team working together. You've joined with other brothers and sisters with a common goal, a common purpose. Some burden that God has laid upon your heart has become your ministry. And we want to provide, we want you to grow. Amen. To promote growth and development in all our teams, all of our departments functioning within the church, and allow a creativity for the emergence of new teams. Praise God. We are not at the end of building team. There is some creativity, something God has given you that can be very vital to the work of God. We identify church growth through increased attendance, larger premises, increased financial giving, the helping of smaller churches, the planting of new churches, and the support of missions. And then we identified enlargement in new ministries emerging in the ongoing progress of New Life churches. How were these areas going to come about? First of all, personnel. We want enlargement in what's happening amongst the leadership. We identified that a succession to senior leadership in this fellowship. Friends, I'm not going to be here forever. And I would like to think in 3 years' time, when we come to 2012, we have identified the future senior leader of this fellowship. That he's amongst us, working amongst us, and we've identified him as a leadership. That he will take on the reins when the time comes for me to step aside. It is no good waiting for me when I retire and then starting to look for succession in leadership. It's got to start now. Thank God for the generation of young people that are coming up. And succession of leadership is so vitally important. A youth pastor. I want you to understand we identified these areas 3 years ago. Thank God for Peter and Sarah. Amen. God has already answered that prayer. Praise God. I am so thankful. But this was an area, friends, that we identified. That we were looking for a youth pastor. Youth pastors to come and become the catalyst for growth amongst young people. This generation that Jesus loves. Hallelujah. A new people's pastor. We've already spoken with Luke and Amelia about this. That new people who come in are looked after and cared for. Someone set aside to be their pastor, to go and talk to them, to share fellowship with them. A children's pastor or a children's leaders. I believe God will be very gracious to us this year over this area. We have prayed into it specifically in our prayer meetings. And I believe, friends, God this year, they will raise up a children's pastor, children's leaders amongst us. I really believe that. Then team. What do we mean by team? We want to make room for growth in team areas, leadership, the deacons, the action teams, the youth, the praise and the worship team, the administration team, friendship hour, daycare. The list is endless. After school care. We want every team to be enlarged. Amen. To grow. And to know the power of God upon their lives and upon their ministries. And then we identified church growth. What did we see? Well, by the grace of God, friends, we saw 100 people added to the church with first-time decisions. This year, we have already, well, since this year, we counted last year's, didn't we? In the 2 years that the vision has been up and running, we have identified 23 people who've made first-time decisions for Jesus Christ. But friends, how many know that a decision is not a disciple? And it's our purpose to take those decisions and make them into disciples. To extend or move into larger premises. 2 years ago, we identified this. Let me tell you, friends, this place is too small. And as a leadership, we are being exercised as to how God is going to help us. We do not want to get comfortable. There is a goldfish bowl scenario that a goldfish will grow to the size of the bowl. You know that, don't you? The bigger the bowl, the bigger the fish. Let me tell you, we are already too full. If all of our people were here this morning, there would be no seats. Full stop. So we're asking the question, what are you saying to us, Lord? Do we go to two services on a Sunday? We've identified 9 o'clock to 10:30 with a half hour break and then from 11 o'clock till 12:30. Sunday school will only take place in one of the services, the last service. We've identified that somehow we need to get a survey out amongst you folk saying which service would you attend. Or is God saying to us, move to a larger place? Thank God the new college has been built. We've got a good relationship with the principal. And there's a state-of-the-art new auditorium being built there. Is God saying, move over there in September? One thing we are absolutely sure of, God wants us to grow. And our growth, friends, is bigger than what we've got here. And so that is an area God spoke to us on. To oversee a small church. I want you to understand when God spoke this to us, when he talked about enlarge the place of our tents, Redcar wasn't here. Stockton wasn't here. And let me tell you, River City wasn't birthed either. All this has come out since we identified this God is what you're saying to us. River City was birthed. The seed was sown. Stockton and Redcar became part of our fellowship. And we're helping them as smaller churches. And I don't believe we finished. I do not believe we finished, friends. I believe God wants us to help any smaller church around who wants to come under our covering and under our ministry. To increase, to plant a new church in the Tees Valley. Well, I'm believing God that River City is not just going to be the first one and the last. I believe as we look to God that God will show us some place where he wants us to plant a brand new congregation. Amen. To increase our tithes and offerings to £1,800 a week. 2 years ago, we weren't £1,000. The wonderful thing is, friends, we are almost at the £1,800 a week. Hallelujah. And that's because you are a part of what God is doing. You've seen the need. Not only to give to the church, but to give to God. Our tithes and offerings are moving up to that £1,800 a week. We thank God for that. And to support a dynamic missions project, financially and practically. Kevin has been assigned as our overseas or our missions director. Kevin is bringing a strategy to the leadership that we will be bringing to you, hopefully by September when we have the AGM. That will announce a totally new way in how we finance missions and how we get behind missions. We want to make a difference. Amen? We want to make a difference, friends. And I believe that what Kevin has already shared with the leadership team is going to help us a long way forward in making a difference. We want to see new ministries emerging. We've identified some of them in our enlargement process. Debt counseling. This is an embryo form, but if you're interested in helping people who are in financial crisis, you need to have a word with Carol Young, because we are interested in teaming up with CAP and becoming a centre for helping people who are in debt. There's a course in September that some are already going to. Care for Singles, the School of Ministry, to serve the region, to serve other churches in the region. Marriage counselling courses, preparation for marriage counselling, parenting classes. All these were identified as areas of enlargement. And then finally, when we're talking about excellence, our fourth pillar of the vision. We want to show excellence, friends, in the area of our own personal life. That reflects spiritual and physical growth. That will be an example to others in being consistent to that presented and taught in God's word. And will seek to live a life that will bring glory to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? That's what we're talking about when we're talking about excellence. In our ministry, we've simply put there, serving others. We want to be excellent in the way that we serve other people. We want to be excellent in our presentation to the community. To the church buildings. We want to be excellence, show excellence in the community beyond the four walls of this building as we reach out into the community. And excellence in our management and administration. Very quickly, friends, how can that be accomplished? When we talk about our personal life, how many know it's more important what we do when we're alone with God than what we do here? We've heard it time and time again, friends. We are what we are when we're on our own. Personal devotions are very vital in the growth of a believer. Excellence in managing our time and our finances. Excellence in planning and preparation. Excellence in our relationships. Excellence in our discipline. In our consistency. In our integrity. Excellence in every area of our personal life. To look after our physical bodies, recognizing that they are the temples of God. Amen. Bodily exercise. This is one of the scriptures, 1 Timothy 4:8, that the Trailblazers, our youth department, have taken on. That to become excellent, not only in temporal things, but to become excellence in godliness, in spirituality, in growing in God. Isn't it wonderful that that vision that they've got fits right in with our vision? Friends, we are not talking about different visions of different departments. We're talking about departments having a vision that runs right in line with what we are doing. How many know two visions brings division? We want to flow together. Excellence in every area of our life. What our goals in our ministry, serving others, to develop a culture where ministry is seen to be done well, individually, and in every team and department. Listen, friends, if you are serving God in any team, any department in the fellowship, God does not want shoddiness from you. He wants your best. He wants the best that you can give him. He deserves our best. God wants excellence in the way we present ourselves to the community. To encourage excellence in the way the corporate image of the church is presented to the community in all aspects of media, publications, literature, and gospel presentation. We want people to do what the Queen of Sheba did. When they see what's happening here, they want their breath to be taken away because it's good. Amen? It's excellent. In the church building, listen to this. To endeavor through the physical and interior appearance of the church building to display a high standard of excellence. You know, since we put that down, God identified it, this whole place has been revamped. The chairs you're sitting on this morning, the new carpets, the paint on the walls, the new windows, everything that's been done is to lift the standard. And I thank God for much that's already been achieved in this area over the last 2 years to make the best of what we've got. And beyond the four walls into our community to develop a spirit of excellence in our ministries to the community in all aspects of care and social concern. Also ensuring that new people are welcomed and integrated into the life of the church. And finally, in our administration, in our management, which is the business arm of the charity, which functions from the family centre over the road. That should reflect the professional skills and expertise in man management and all other aspects of administration and incorporate a system of training for future growth and the development of the charity that we are. Displaying a work ethic of diligence and competency in all aspects of business and practice. If you don't already know it, there is an excellence that goes on in our business that is far beyond compare to a lot of places. And I thank God for Paul Whittingham for that, who oversees that area, and Michelle and the team around him. There is an excellence in the business arm of the charity, in the accounting of finances. Friends, everything is above board. Amen? Everything can be scrutinized and looked at. There is no secrets. Praise God. Excellence. You are here for a purpose. To grow in faith. To serve God and the community. To win others to Jesus Christ. To serve others in the body of Christ. To make an impact for God in your generation. And I believe in the words of Esther, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll give you these notes, or what we shared together this morning on the slide. Everybody will have a copy of them next week. It's our desire, friends, as leaders, to see you all grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. and to see you become all that God has saved you for, that you may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of you for, to fulfill your God-given purpose and your God-given destiny. That is our purpose. That's our mission. We know where we're going. We've wrote it down. We want to make it plain so that you'll be able to run with it and be involved in it. Partner with us in the greatest work this side of heaven. Let's stand and pray together.